Hey America, this is Chaplain Wanda Thomas. Listen to Wanda Road to Success with Great Wisdom Unlimited every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time during the Gospel Connection on WNJRradio.com, America's hottest web radio experience. This web radio program offers you information and tools that will help you to become empowered with skills for successful life outcomes. With so many different ways you can listen, you're going to love the way you sound. And now we're on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, play WNJR. Be blessed and get connected to us.
Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So, what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions. Sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's Talk Relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
Hello, folks. Welcome again to LTR. That's Let's Talk Relationship, or Let's Talk Relationships. Welcome. I'm glad you're here with us tonight. And we're going to have a very, I would say, exciting and engaging night tonight. We are truly happy to be here. We're thankful for a new day. Many people did not make it into today. And here we are, and I'm truly excited to have you guys back on this Monday night here on Let's Talk Relationships. All right, hello everyone. Remember to put, not to put on, but to put out and show out. All right, we're gonna make it happen tonight. We're truly thankful tonight for Tashana Sexton. Glad to have you here tonight. And we're looking to have a really good time. Real, really good time tonight. And I'm sure if you stick around, that's going to happen. It's been a while. It's been a while that we have on the scene. Actually, it's been the first time in history I've seen what happened recently with our great, great country, Jamaica. We had the 1-2-3 punch and the 100-yard dash. We had three females who did that. First time in history. And truly make us very proud of that. And tonight we have some great guests that's going to be on the show. We have our co-host. We have Lady Misty that's in the house. And there's no other like her. She's the one and only. And she definitely makes it happen. Lady Misty in the house. How are you?
Hi. Good night. Good night. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I can. I can hear you. You might want to sound a little louder. Maybe the volume is a little down. You can probably just turn up a little bit more so we can hear you, if possible.
Okay. Is that better?
It's a little better. It's a little better. But I can hear you. I can hear you. I hope the audience can hear you as well, because with the voice of yours, they got to hear you. All right.
I hope so too. I mean, I have been going on a journey.
Uh-huh.
With my devices and getting the things, you know, smoothly. But I am here.
Uh-huh.
Nevertheless, I am here. Good night, everybody. I trust everybody out there in social media land is okay. Welcome to Let's Talk Relationships.
Yes.
I hope you are doing well. Tonight we have a very, very interesting topic, as usual, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We are discussing tonight single by design, not by desire.
Okay.
So that's going to prove to be an interesting conversations tonight.
I think it is.
I think so. Before we go into this topic, though, of course, we'd like to say a big, big thank you to all our partners, supporters, listeners, and viewers. It is our hope that this show can be a source of empowering information for you. A place where you can come to challenge your thinking and, of course, a safe space. I'm sorry. Thank you. A safe space for you to address issues that affect our families. Now, of course, we are here for you. So if you need advice or answers to a question to help you grow in your relationship, leave a comment in the comment section on whatever platform you are on, whether it's YouTube or Facebook, or if you are over there on our website at umeradio.com, leave it there, or you can email us at ltranswers@gmail.com. That's ltranswers@gmail.com. Once again, it is our hope that this program will be a support to you to help you build and maintain strong, healthy, loving, and divine relationships. So, cheers to love and happiness on You Me Radio. I am Lady Misty, and of course,
and this is
my amazing, amazing co-host,
DJ KTE. That would be me.
That's right.
So, folks, it is now. Boy, time is flying. August the 2nd. Can you believe?
Yeah.
2021. It is now approximately 9:05 p.m. And we are truly, truly happy that you guys are here with us. And we're looking forward to our, like I said, a great show.
Yes.
This is what it's all about. Yes.
Great show tonight. Of course, you know we are all over the world. So in case you want to listen to us and to listen to this program again anytime in the future, so here are some ways you can listen to Yumi Radio on any of the following apps. So of course, YumiRadio.com, the Apple App Store and the Google Play Stores, iTunes Podcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Podcast, Podbean, TuneU Live 365, Spotify, Stitcher, and Player FM.
Yes.
So you can listen to us on any one of those platforms to hear these lovely shows that happen on Yumi Radio.
Yes. So Lady Misty. So before we dive into tonight's discussion, can we talk, you know, can we take a minute just to talk about the countries that are celebrating Jamaica emancipation? All right.
So today we are celebrating Emancipation Day. Well, it was from yesterday. There we go. Can you hear me now? I check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There we go. All right. So officially, yesterday was Emancipation Day. We celebrated here on the island August 1st. But being that it's Sunday, they, you know, moved the celebration over into today.
Monday.
So it's Emancipation here where we celebrate being free people. We try to maintain that freedom, not only in our physical movements, but in our minds as well. You know, with all that's happening, we commemorate. Of course, it's a little bit different from previous years, you know, with the advent of COVID-19, you know, celebrations have been curtailed on the island. Nevertheless, we are still in that emancipation mood and we celebrate being free and being able to express ourselves, you know, without bondage. So we are indeed happy for that.
Yes, and even in Beijing, we have it highlighted. Of course, having those three great runners who actually won from Jamaica was highlighted there.
Listen.
So excited
exactly
about
a
it.
Such a great way to.
With Shelly-Ann. With Shelly-Ann.
Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. Elaine Thompson-Hara and Sharika Jackson.
Yes. And
those are the three ladies. So Shelly-Ann, Elaine, and Sharika. Those are the three ladies that really blazed the 100-meter Anderson.
Someone said, woohoo! I can hear in the chat.
It was a great
I think
great
I see someone, someone in the chat say,
celebrate being free.
Someone big it up, man. Big it up, Jamaica. Yes, and even in here in the States, here in New York, Mount Vernon actually was highlighted too in Mount Vernon.
Yes,
the mayor talked about it.
Pick up yourself, Jamaica.
Yeah, the mayor talked about it. Yeah, I said, wow, you know, so that's a good thing, you know. I mean, Jamaica's come a long way. And it's a blessing that we have impacted the world, that we've done musically, culturally, sports wise. I mean, we really have made a mark and keep on making marks in this world. So that's a wonderful thing. Big up to Jamaica, huh? All right now. Yes. Yes, and I believe Lady Misty.
Of Jamaica Street.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes indeed. Yes indeed.
But it was a great celebration, you know. Mm-hmm. We here on the island, we really, really
yeah.
I love athletics.
Yes.
So it's always one of the highlights of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. So it dominates the men's and the females.
The men has disappointed. They have disappointed us a little bit this year. I know they have worked hard, but you know the ladies.
Yeah, they came
really
through.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have really come through. So we are happy for them representing us.
Yeah.
As a country. Those on Facebook and the YouTube, good night. Good night. I see you coming in. Good night. It's lovely to have you keeping our company tonight.
Mm-hmm. All over social media, wherever you are, we see you. We see you guys. We definitely see you guys.
We see you.
All over. The guys are live and direct, as they would say. Live and direct. And we're loving it.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, there are also other, you know, celebrations around, you know, in and around the Caribbean and certainly in the New York area.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we have Turks and Caicos. They also celebrate with us. They also have emancipation on August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So they are celebrating over there. So if there's anyone listening from Turks and Caicos, happy emancipation to you too.
We both
share that celebration. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us, those who are just coming in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you're just joining us, welcome again. Thank you for coming. And you are listening to Let's Talk Relationships. And tonight we are discussing the theme tonight,
mm-hmm.
Single by Design, Not by Desire. And we have some amazing people that will grace us with their presence and engage with us in conversation tonight.
Yes.
Yes. Before we do that, however, we are going to go straight into our spotlight. So we are shining the spotlight tonight on Lady Tricia Williams.
Yes.
Yes, and she's promoting her brand. So we're going to
welcome Tricia.
Brand.
Hi, good night. Thank you for having me.
How are you? I hope you are well. Happy emancipation to you.
Thank you. I am well. Fine. Thank you. I'm just happy to be alive. You know.
So we understand that you have a program and it's titled Emancipated Mind. Minds?
Emancipated Minds.
Yes. So I love that title. I love that that thing. And of course, I can see a connection there, you know? So as some people say, Lady Misty, a lot of folks are free. They're not in chains, but their minds are not free. So we want to not only be free, you know, from the physical, you know, restraints from others, but we also want to be free mentally in our own minds, so we can achieve and become who we want to be, and not having to worry about the things that will hold us back, because now we have that inner power, inner strength. So you're gonna share with us a little bit about that, Tricia.
Thank you so much, Keith. And just to think that in Jamaica, we are celebrating Emancipation Day. And, you know, when you think about the concept of emancipation. You think about being liberated, you think about freedom, freedom of expression, you think about growth, you think about expansion. And that's just what, you know, emancipatedminds.com is about. And this, of course, is geared towards our youths. It's also geared towards our young people. Because, of course, in Jamaica, we say, bend the tree when it's young, when it's old,
yes.
it's now go bend again. That's phrase. Which means that you sow at an early age, you try to instill the values and the principles at an early age. And, of course, when growth takes place, there will not, of course, be any need.
I see you side with. There you go. There you go.
There will be not be any need to be, you know, doing the pruning and the cutting. All right. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about emancipating the minds of our young ones as it relates to branding and, you know, promotions. Right. We're talking about helping them to identify who they are, what they are about, what's their purpose, what are the gifts that God has given you, and to actually help to, you know, bring that forward as a brand, you know.
So it's
a sense of identity.
Yes.
It's a sense of entrepreneurship at an early age. It's a sense of ownership at an early age.
Yes.
So that's basically what Emancipated Mind is about.
So, Lady Tricia, so Lady, question here. So being a member of our business tree, all right, how do you see that now expanding? Because I think, you know, a big part of this whole, I would say this whole vision that we have here at UME Radio is, and I like what you say about the branding, we want to expand branding and you know, come to our own and build that, and also teach others how to build their own brand. So being a part of this business tree, which came out of another brand, where do you see your brand going?
Well, you know, we talk about the idea of networking and, you know, coming together, you know, and I'm just so happy to be connected with UME Radio and Business Tree. And just what they stand for, of course, you know, the whole idea of helping persons to unearth, you know, who you are and become your best self. And I think that's just the most phenomenal thing.
Wow. When did you first thought of this idea, Emancipation Minds? That's a very powerful thought. When did that first pop into your mind?
Well, after meeting with the team at UME Radio, you know, and sharing my vision and my passion with the team, of course, we came up with the awesome name of Emancipated Mind. I think
I love it.
Emancipation. When you say
emancipate
the word,
yourself from mental slavery. Yes. You hear me singing, huh? You got me start singing, all right? See, I'm so sorry
to
interrupt
you.
Trying to went into Mr. Bob Marley. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery, huh? But I hear you. Go ahead, my dear.
Most definitely.
Oh, my goodness. Lady Misty, are we here?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening. It's such a fitting title. So, Lady Tricia, how can young people find you and get involved in your brand?
I did not hear that at all.
You didn't hear me? I hope you're hearing me. I was asking, are you hearing me now?
Are you hearing
me?
Yes,
I'm hearing you now.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, all right. Yes, I was asking, how do young people find you and get in contact with you to, you know, take part and become a part of your brand?
Okay, so they can find me, of course, at Emancipated Minds. That's mindswithaz.com. You know, you just Google that. And also, I have a Tricia Skiddy's Corner. But if they go on to the umerader.com link, they will also find, you know, just the Tricia Skiddy's Corner brand there also.
And that is umeradio.com. That's pretty cool, pretty cool. So glad to have you here tonight, man. I tell you, I'm really excited about this. Yeah. I think we're in a great time and a very opportune time where we've seen, especially women now, is really just taking this by storm. You know, they're really, you know, just really doing their thing. And that's great to see. So I think we are just building this and just keep building and keep growing and keep networking. And I think the sky's the limit. I really do.
Yes, I love to say that the sky is not even the limit. It's just an illusion. And women, men, boys, girls, young people, people of all colors, I mean, we were born to do great things with our lives. And it's good to be in the right environment. And I think just being around this network is being around the right environment, because every single seed has a particular environment that allows it to grow properly.
That's right.
And I would say that, you know, just coming around, you know, just this network is like having loamy soil. You know, we have just a good element of everybody just, you know, coming together to do something great. So I'm excited about Emancipated Minds. I'm excited about the connections that we will be making. We're talking about performances and events. We're open to help kids who have performances coming up and they want to work on a piece, say, for example, a dance piece, a drama piece, a speech piece, whatever it is, we are here to help you. We're also here to help to make your event awesome, also to help to plan your event, also to be a motivational coach. Yeah, we are talking about the helping kids to become a part of a community of leaders, you know. So we talk about the kids book club, where we will be creating an awesome environment for kids around the world to interact, to grow in their mindset, to expand the way they think in just a beautiful, safe environment. And we also, you know, are looking at, you know, helping kids as it relates to, we'll be having our kids quiz show, we'll be having our awards, aspect to the, website and the ceremonies and competition aspect too.
Love it. Wow. So what's going on, Lady Trisha?
Sounds awesome.
It sounds real fantastic.
You have such a great lineup, and the features sound very, very welcoming for children. And I have to say kudos to you. I love your brand. So everybody, please check out Lady Trisha Williams at www.emancipatedminds.com. You can also visit accessbusinessstreet.com/Trisha Williams and you'll find information about her there. Thank you so much for sharing with us tonight, Lady Williams, and I wish you all the best as you continue to connect and find your place and your purpose as you help young minds as well find their purpose. Thank you so much, Lady Trisha, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you for having me too.
Oh, that was nice. That was nice, Lady Misty. I think one of the ways we can really impact the world is starting from the young minds, you know, because like they always say, they're the ones that take over from us. They're the ones that come up and think and plan, and they're going to be in government, they're going to be in the schools, they're going to be in all over. So when their minds are shaped them early, then we should have more of a stabilized world and balanced world, not this over the cliff kind of, you know, where your folks now saying, you know, we want to have what we call equal rights, but they can voice their opinion, but they can't voice yours. Madness. So we want a world where kids are understand what that really means and how to implement that as they get older, as they build their own brands and come to their own themselves.
That's right. And I applaud the visionary of Yumi Radio, as you know, they expose brands like that and allow our young people or young young minds to access information and interactions like this, because these are the things that we need, especially in the in the colored community.
Yep.
We need that kind of collaboration and that kind of interaction so that our young people of color can grow up to be people of purpose.
There you go.
And people of substance. So we applaud them for that. All right, so that was our spotlight segment. So we just shed some light on Lady Trisha Williams. So we are going to jump right into our topic tonight. Once again, the topic tonight is single by design, not by desire. And of course, just to lay some groundwork and to give our audience some background, we are talking about the single life. Yeah, we are talking about the single life tonight. And I just want to share with you some tidbits from PairedLife.com. And it's entitled 10 Ways to Get Rid of Your Fear of Being Single Forever. Now, for those of us who are married, you know, we've gone over that hurdle, but not everyone is married or in a relationship, in a committed relationship. And you know, for some people, being single is a scary thing. For other people, being single is a freeing thing. You know, they don't
want
to be hitched, they don't want to be it goes both ways. So we want to talk about it tonight. We want to have a discussion about it tonight. Now, according to PairedLife.com, 10 ways to reduce the fear of being alone or being single forever. It says, for some persons who are single and desirous of marriage, being single and not know when can be a real challenge, and that is true. If you've been asked out and turned down, you've never left your house except to go to work, rarely try to appear appealing and unapproachable, never looked anyone in the eyes and smiled, not given the time of day or initiated a conversation with anyone, then sure, you may be indeed responsible for your singleness. However, according to crosswalk.com, under the article, "Is it my fault I'm still single?" Being single for more than 2 or 3 years doesn't necessarily mean it's your fault. There are probably a number of contributing factors that has led to one's singleness. But there's no need wasting time figuring out who's to blame. Now, here are some of the things. Some things are uncontrollable, and we know this, especially in regards to dating, the actions of others, and God's will. Now, psychologists say that Americans now spend more of their adult lives unmarried than married.
Wow, that's
I wonder why that is so.
that's new.
It also says that Christian researchers point out that the percentage of single people has increased from just over a quarter to 3 in 10. Wow, that's interesting.
Now,
secular researchers, they have done some research too, and it says here they have noticed that that overall attitudes towards marriage have shifted. I don't know why that is. The idea of never getting married just doesn't seem to bother us anymore. Wow, can you believe that? So we're going to be talking to some people tonight to see if they can help us in this discussion. So I see Travel. Hi, Travel Escapades. How are you doing? And he says he likes being single. All right.
So I guess we'll find out about that a little bit.
We're going to
explore that.
I guess tonight. He said he hasn't figured out his sex part yet.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that's an interesting Oh, yes, we shall speak about that. All right. So, are you
welcome,
design or default? We're going to talk about it. So, in our guest panel tonight, we have Lady Heather Green. She's an ordained minister at the United Lifeline Deliverance Church of God International. She's
an
advisor, relationship and finance coach. We also have our in-house chaplain, you know, our resident guest, the Reverend Courtney Morrison. Of course,
yes.
He is a chaplain, men of God Against Violence and Abuse, CEO of Left Wrong Do Right Initiative. He's a father, a husband for the past 29 years. And of course, he's a pastor of Fellowship Tabernacle Church. We also have Mr. Chase Campbell. And don't worry, people, he ain't chasing nobody.
Uh-oh. All right? I guess we'll find out tonight. We'll find out.
Dreams. That's the only thing Chase is chasing tonight, his dreams.
Okay. All right?
So he is a CEO of Chase Your Dreams brand. He's a singer, songwriter, a worshiper, and a lover of the presence of God. We also have
Miss Gloria Lawrence. Yes, good to see you.
And I hope I pronounced the name correct.
Yes, Gloria Lawrence.
Christian publisher, podcaster of Unfiltered by Grade. Yes. So we are going to be talking to these lovely people tonight. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. How are we all doing?
Mm-hmm. We're doing good.
So let me say, before we start, you're all in the hot seat. So if you feel a little heat rising up underneath, don't worry. It's just the heat of UME Radio, okay? So it's going to be good. So make sure your belts are fastened nicely. Because Dr. Morris is going to make you crazy tonight. I know he makes you crazy, and I love it. Anyway, guys, we're happy to have you all here tonight. And we're excited. So let's begin.
Yes, let's begin. Before we do so, however, let me apologize for you not seeing me. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been having some crazy, crazy issues with my devices. So let me apologize for you not seeing my beautiful face tonight. But trust and believe, I am here with you all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we are jumping straight into our topic tonight. Single by design, not by default. First of all, I want us to talk about singleness. What exactly is singleness? So I'm going to throw that at our host. So Lady Green, I want to hear from you. What exactly is singleness?
In your understanding.
In your own estimation, you know, your own experience with persons you've interacted with.
Well, good night, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, definitely.
Yes, we can. Good night.
Thank you for having me again tonight. And I'm very single, and my understanding of being single is me, myself, and I.
Uh-oh.
But in the non-traditional sense, it's unmarried. Hopefully, not necessarily in the Christian sense, unmarried, but in the secular sense, not living with somebody. So single mean that you don't have a significant other at the time when you are purporting to be single. So that's my take on being single at this time.
Okay. Now, Mr. Chase, you heard the words of this amazing lady here. She said, "Not just not married, but actually not in a relationship." So, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm single, but they're really not really single." But are you really single, sir? And talk about that to us.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Mr. My Brother.
Good night.
It's Yes, I am single, but I am.
I heard a but there, Barbara.
Meaning I am.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. So, oh, yes. You're single and looking. Okay, listen. Definitely. Okay, you heard, y'all heard that out there. Looking. All right. Single and looking. Reverend Morrissey, good night. It's nice to have you. What are your thoughts on singleness?
Good night, everyone. Thanks for having me. Lady of the Gold. You don't know things, go Lady Green. DJ KT.
Yes, welcome.
Good to be here again tonight.
Yes.
Not sure why I'm here. I have not been single for the past 38 years, actually. I'm not very
We rely on your wisdom. Mm-hmm.
Wisdom. Oh, my goodness.
And I'm sure you. I'm sure you won't always marry.
In terms of singleness, one of the outlook is by what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, where he says he'd rather some stay unmarried, so that they can tend to the things of the church. Because when one doesn't have a singleness of focus and has to actually do a dichotomy of things in terms of having a diverse focus, then there is not true singleness. And so in terms of singleness, again, I do agree, Lady Green, not having anyone or pursuing a relationship is what we're talking about, single. And that is also by design. But there's also the scripture that says some who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. Quite interesting scriptures. So let's see where we go with this tonight.
Yes, and let's not forget the one, Dr. Morrison, that says man was not made to be alone.
I guess that doesn't have anything to do with the women. It's just men.
I see Chase over there nodding. I see Chase over there nodding away.
Yes, we are not meant to be single.
I see Chase nodding away.
Miss Gloria, I see you smiling there. I know you have a thought. I see you smiling, Miss Gloria.
Hi, good night, everyone.
Good night.
I'm just listening because single, as Heather had stated, it's if it is that you're not pursuing anyone or no one is pursuing you at the time, and you decide that you want to be single, either as Reverend Courtney said, by choice, or you're single because this is, you want to be single for God to do God's work. So either way, that is really singleness.
Let me chime in here real quick. I see Nicole, right? Welcome tonight on LTR. Can you hear us? Just unmute your phone if you can. So welcome, Minister, that's Siobhan. Siobhan?
Hi, good night.
Yeah, how are you?
Hi, good night.
Hi, the G is silent.
There you go.
Oh, glad so to have it. Glad to have Chavonet, you.
I'm sure,
right?
Happening. I'm not hearing her at all.
Chavonet.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting name. I like that. Chavonet.
Thank you.
Yeah. So now we have two. We have three females. No, it's not fair because we have three guys and we have four females. So we are numbered, guys. So tonight we're gonna fight. we're gonna make it happen. Yeah. But anyways, good to have you. I'm not sure how much you've heard of the discussion so far. Single by design, not desire. So what? We talked about what does singleness mean to you? You know, based on your life experience, you know, what you've been through, how you see things are. What does that word singleness mean to you?
Well, singleness to me means wholeness. So it's a waiting period, a chance for you to be whole before you tie the knot. So singleness really means a unit standing alone, standing upright. So some people might view singleness as a curse, but it's really a blessing.
Okay. I could hear Miss Gloria saying something earlier. I think I kind of interrupted her a little bit, but I want to hear her finish her thought in that. What she was saying, Miss Gloria. I did hear you were saying something.
Oh, no, I was saying that for singleness, it can be you not being in a relationship because you want to do either God's work, or it is that you decide you're not with anyone because you don't want to be, or it can be a situation where you just haven't found somebody as yet, so you're single. That's what singleness is.
So let me ask a question, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you know, how many of us have gone to bed at night and cried on the pillow, you know? Have lonely. Oh, thank you, Lord. See, I love the realness. See, the real. See, you can't be the real. You can't be the real enough. You cannot be the real. I love this lady here. So you know, because I think a lot of times we, as especially Christians, you know, we have this sense of we don't really feel. We close it all in. You know, we're not transparent with those hard, lonely nights. You know, or even days too. You know. And say, boy, Lord, please send somebody, you know? Please send somebody, you know?
Singleness is seasonal.
Yes.
Seasons where it's great. And
yes.
Seasons where, oh, my Lord, send somebody now.
Oh, no, my God. Keeping it real. Well, so my brother, Mr. Chase, is that one of your, some of your stories, my friend?
All right, my story is that I want this season to end right now.
Watch it now. Watch it. You know. This is brother's keeping it real.
Right now.
He's keeping it real. Well, you know, Chase, you're in 216 countries now. No, 116 countries. So you might get a call tonight. Be careful. You might get a call tonight, brother.
The will of God manifests, right? I really wanted to end because one of the difficulties of being single is when you see your friends, your spiritual friends, everybody's proposing, everyone is getting married, you know, when even your younger sister is getting married before you.
Ooh.
But at the end of the day, it's like, where are you? And then you're the one that's supposed to set the example
of
these things. So people have this let put you on this pedestal that you should. That you should, we thought you were the one who's going to get this or that, But at the end of the day, though, not everyone is qualified to be a partner or to be married or you're supposed to marry to, because you can marry into something that is out of the will of God. You understand? And then you can go into a relationship that is out of the will of God, which tends to literally do real purpose and to also destroy purpose and also to cause a lot of emotional baggage or wounds to reopen and to add to what you actually had received. So, you know, it's something that you have to really be careful with, because it's not only that when people say you're married to somebody, you're married to their family, you have to look on that from a spiritual sense as well. Mm-hmm. And you can marry into some spiritual warfare and you never expect it to be in. Are you getting manage? Are you, you know? But yeah, that's my take on it. But I want my season to end now, like right now. So
you know, I'll tell you one thing though. You know, I give you a little thing here, Lady Misty. I know we don't see, but I know you're there, Lady Misty. But you know,
I'm here.
Having this platform here, and speaking to all different countries. There's some folks I have no clue when we say will and God and plan and purpose and divine, they're clueless to that. Then they have no idea what that means. But just looking at it from a relational angle, male, female, you know, having companionship. I know the people who use music, they use make a cat, they make a dog, bird to help them feel like they're with someone or something to help to cope with loneliness. But how would you speak to loneliness and being alone? I want to suggest that being lonely or being alone and having loneliness. How have you dealt with those two things?
I'm not sure who's gonna go first, but
you can start first.
I think loneliness really has nothing to do with people around you. Mm-hmm. I have been lonely in a crowd.
Okay.
And I have been having a lot of persons around me and still very alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a bond of having some sort of a unity of common goals or ideas or aspirations or feelings mm-hmm. that makes you not lonely. Because it's not just having another human being beside you or being with somebody. I've met a lot of lonely married people.
Oh, wow.
I've met a lot of lonely Christian people.
That is true.
I've met persons who are in the church and are alone, persons who are part of family and they're lonely. Persons who have a lot of company around them and they're still lonely. So I think loneliness is really not so much being alone as it is not having that connectivity of companionship.
Wow.
When you have connectivity of companionship, you're no longer alone. That significant person, not necessarily romantic, but just mm-hmm. somebody that is bonding with you at the same level, that even if words are not being spoken, there is an innate understanding that there's a bond happening and you're no longer alone.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. And for me, I think loneliness is also seasonal. There are times when you are in a crowd and you're just not alone because you're bonding. The group has synergy. They have shared goals and desires mm-hmm. and dreams. And you get a sense that you are together mm-hmm. and persons are sharing your dreams and hopes. But then there's also the flip side where you have a lot of people around you and yet still you are lonely because there's no common connection. There's no depth of soul or spirit connection.
Yes.
There's not that desire to connect with somebody. And this can happen even in, let's say, a party or a function where you might be having all strangers there. But sometimes there's just one or two persons that you have a synergy with. And mm-hmm. you know that you're not alone because they're sharing common goals or visions. So I think loneliness really has nothing to do with being one or alone or standalone, but it has to do with that connectivity, that connection with another person that says, hey, I'm sharing something that you're sharing. And so we're in this thing together.
Wow. I like what you're saying, Ms. Green. I'm not sure how close you are to the mic, but if you can get closer, because I love what you're saying. Yes, get closer to your mic or the volume. Make it a little high if you can, so we can hear you even louder.
Let me see so we're glad. Some adjustments.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Morris. We're glad to have you back, sir, Pastor Morris. The question was asked while you were away. Addressed the word loneliness, opposed to being alone, and Ms. Heather gave us a perspective on that. Could you give us something on that, sir?
Oh, sure. I hope you are hearing me well. I had to change instrument. The other one seemed to be functioning quite well. You know, there's a secular song many years ago, DJ KT, you might know it. I don't know if everyone is as old as we are.
I'm only 25, by the way. 25.
Alone in a crowd on a bus after work and they dreaming.
I wasn't born then.
That's very funny. You know,
I'm trying to stay. I'm only 25. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm agreeing with most of what I've heard since I came back in. You can be alone, yet not lonely. Loneliness speaks to a sense of being devoid of relationships, being devoid of connection. Yet being alone may mean that I'm just taking a time out. I can be by myself. I'm trying to be at peace. I'm trying to relax. And so I don't necessarily need a crowd. We have to be able to differentiate between the two. Otherwise, I can be lonely yet in a relationship with someone because we are not having that level of communication. Mm-hmm. We're not having agreed perspective. We're not having that sort of communal relationship that brings us to a point where we connect correctly. When that begins to happen, then you will see disagreements, you'll see irritation and frustration setting in. I am having this relationship, yet I'm feeling lonely. Being alone, let's use some examples. I can wash the car alone, as well as I can have company that I enjoy, that makes washing the car even so much more enjoyable. So if I'm washing the car and wifey has a cool, tall glass of lemonade with that white frosting on the top, you know, and saying, hey, sweetie, you're looking nice while you wash the car. Where you get them legs from? That brings perspective and camaraderie. And so alone and being lonely are two separate things. If you are experiencing both, though, is when it can become devastating. Yeah. If you are both alone and there is no one to complement, support, and help while you are feeling lonely, then you can become distressed, panicked, and may decide to become anxious. And that sets off a whole new level, you know, of things just happening. A domino effect begins to happen and things begin to feel as if they're falling round about you.
Wow.
And so we have to take those into consideration.
Wow.
I think I'm going to touch on this.
ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're...
Yes. Go ahead, Lady Misty. I think she might be having some, some technical issues there. Well, we'll work through that. In the meantime, you can go ahead with your point.
Can you all hear me? I hope you can hear me.
No, we can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. I know we've been talking about, you know, singleness. We've been talking about singleness and loneliness and all of that. But I want to find out from you tonight, what does it really mean to be single by design? I know that can take a lot of different avenues, but what does it mean to you to be single by design?
It
makes you think. Yes, it makes you think. I see Lady Adigo over there thinking.
I'm thinking.
Away.
Yeah, I'm thinking because it can either be that you're single because I'm just thinking because as Reverend Courtney was saying, it means, you know, it can either be a situation where, as in the Bible, it says there are some persons who are called for that ministry. So they are single by that design, right? Mm-hmm. To be eunuchs.
Yes,
so if it is that they, because you have some people who have never really wanted to be in a relationship before. They have been born that way. Mm-hmm. While you have some other persons who maybe because of situations in marriages or relationships, they have decided that they no longer want to be in any relationship and they want to just live their life being single. Okay. So that can be the situation. Some persons also, it can be that they were in ministry, they got married and they had realized that they're not doing what they love because marriage takes time and it takes work. So they realize that they have to be balancing between ministry and marriage. And some of them really want to focus really on ministry and not marriage. So they have decided to no longer be married or, you know, and just stick to being single. So it can come from many different angles where single by design is really.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mr. Siobhan.
All right. Anybody else wants to jump in on that?
Sure. My take on single by design is similar to Gloria's. Well, okay. Single by design could mean that person, it wasn't ordained for that person to be married. So they were designed to be single for the rest of their life in regards to not being married. And I believe single by design can be even seasonal. So you can be single by design to a certain age. For example, the Lord wants you to be married at 35, So he'll keep you single until then. So, you know, you were destined to marry at a certain age, or your spouse is to come at a certain age based on how the Lord is developing you or developing your spouse until that time. So the Lord may ask you to kind of not to date. He may allow you to date, but maybe for a short period. But in terms of being married, you go through this waiting period, you go through this pruning period. So you'll be single by design to an extent, and then, you know, you get a reward.
My take on that, I will agree with both Gloria and also Chavonnet. Did I pronounce it right?
Yes, that's correct, Chavonnet.
All right, great. So I agree with you, but you have to look on also that even though we're designed, we are human, and that we will definitely have emotions of loneliness, as we were talking about, and also being lonely. But when it comes down to a design, that there is a pruning process in between. So probably we are going to meet persons as well during this journey that will teach us or prepare us for that relationship. You understand? Because sometimes we end up in a situation where we're trying to pursue someone, but the relationship didn't work out, and we are wondering why it didn't work out, but it was actually preparation. But you have to look on the other side too of things, where I was thinking about design. If God designed you, as you said, 35 to be married, but still, like, you're in a relationship at 20, and that was 10 years or almost 15 years, and then what, 14 years, and then the 15 year, you know, God decided to cut that off, or something went down that wrong there. But at the end of the day, when we look on the design of purpose, you have to be careful. We have to just be careful of who we take up. I don't know if I was rambling just now. Sorry.
No, you're sharing your perspective.
May I chime in where Sir Campbell just left off?
Sure.
Because one of the things I'm thinking and I'm listening in, design can come from both yourself or by God, and you don't want to miss one or the other. Because I listened, I think it was Minister Chavonnet saying, I'm not sure who said it, or whether or not it was Minister Heather, that you may be designed up to age 35 to remain single, and then afterwards something kicks into place. But you may have got married at 23, and you may have to subscribe to what Lady Adigo said before, where you realize this was not the intention. How do you do? What do you balance? What do you say to God in regards to his word? But I want to share the perspective that design, and I saw someone say it, where it is intentional and deliberate, either by yourself or by God for your own life, where you have sat, organized, planned, prioritized, and decided that this is the direction you are heading. I am not going to be in a relationship, or I'm going to be career oriented. That can be designed. But what if you are desired, as opposed to design, desire that you put that in place, because it may be a desire. How do you distinguish is the question. I'm looking at a scripture Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 79, I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Edition. I wish that all men were like myself, he says.
Yes, Paul.
In this matter of self-control. So that sounds as if that is by design. Yes, because he's having the desire, yet as a matter of self-control, this is what he has decided to do. Mm-hmm. But each man has his own specific gift from God. Amplified Classic. One of this kind and one of another. But to the unmarried people and to the widows, I declare that it is well, good, advantageous, expedient, and wholesome for them to remain single, even as I do. Here's what Paul is declaring. But if they have not self-control, if the desire is even something that is overriding in terms of or overwhelming, and this is a passage that I think so many ministers in the past have used incorrectly, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion and tortured continually with ungratified desire.
Torture.
One of the things I'm trying
to do. It's torture. That's opportune yes, word. Torture.
Where it is your desire to be sexually active, your desire to be in a relationship of that matter, that based on scripture, and I am one of those who I'm looking continually where I'm seeing where we're making some scriptures irrelevant by our own perspective as opposed to what the Word of God teaches, even in its rationale and why it is put the way it is. Paul makes it clear, this is not a commandment from God. This is how I feel about the situation. That I wish that men, that all men would be this way. But then we all know that would really inhibit population growth, right?
Mr. Morris, I am happy that you said or you clarified that it was Paul's belief or view on the text. Because while you were speaking, you know what came to me? I don't remember exactly the scripture, but the scripture that talked about Paul having a thorn in his flesh.
Yes.
So just to say,
we all can relate.
The thorn in the flesh was his desire to be married or desire, that sexual desire or that desire to have someone. And he prayed and he fasted and asked God to take it away or even satisfy it. And the Lord's response is, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. So basically, you know, it could be where somebody is designed to be single in terms of, in this case, they're not made to get married. And that would be their thorn in their flesh because of their earthly desire. However, the Lord would be saying, his grace is sufficient for you. And, you know, you are to have a paradigm shift or ask the Lord to kind of reset your thinking or, you know, to adapt to the will of God. I mean, God's not going to put you in a situation where he doesn't think that you can handle. So, you know, even though we say, okay, we want this, but God is not going to give you something that you can't handle. So he's saying, stay single and this is my will. Then he will sustain it.
Yeah, and wow. I'm in agreement with that, because but even so, in terms of scripture, I don't try to read in what was Paul's thorn in his flesh or whatever.
We don't know.
I think I know what it is. I'm not going to say it. I'm holding it to the end of the show.
Someone
asked
a question. How do you know the difference between desire and design, and what happens if your desire is going contradictory to the design of God? And it is usually a very difficult position to know, because I can tell you this, before I met my wife and we were dating, I said it quite clearly. I said, my desire is to be by myself in a hill, you know, as a hermit living with no one and
no
one
related.
I do not believe that.
You don't believe that?
No, we don't.
That was what I declared. So I want you to understand that. Coming next week, Tuesday, it's 30 years of marriage. So my desire was to be single. Yes? And I had no thorn in the flesh. My desire was to be single. And
so Pastor Morris.
So that desire was based on design?
So Pastor Morris, let me ask you a question here.
Evidently is not so.
Right. So before the desire, when you didn't want to be married and be single, I mean, what was life like in your teenage years? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 25.
Exciting. Life at Kingston College, being single, having no responsibility.
Yeah, what was that like?
Worrying about jealousy. All those things are awesome. Awesome stuff.
I hear you.
And you see, the scripture says, when the light of your eye is single, you know, you're doing much better. When you're not, you know, really having all these different areas to attend to, For example, one of the things I would say to some youngsters, use wisdom in growing up. You desire a relationship, but here's my question to you. Sometimes being in your parents' house and having schoolwork to attend to is so traumatic and so burdensome already. Why would you want to take on an added responsibility, such as a relationship when your mind is there? It is good to want to have one, but you must ask yourself the question, is it something I should engage in at this stage? If you believe you can manage. I mean, I got into a relationship from age 16, mm-hmm. you know, and I've been in that relationship from age 16 to today. Mm. So,
wow.
Yes, the same young lady I knew from Excelsior and I went to Kingston College is the same lady who is my wife today.
Look at that. Big up that one. Mm.
And I think part of that was held by the fact that I could remain alone. And so there was no desire to seek anyone else. And if we can recognize those things and allow them to be a part of us.
So
of the opposite sex to be in a relationship is not something that runs or eludes quite easily. We have so many persons who we can enter into relationships with.
Yes.
But in building up ourselves while we are single is something that we must also recognize, that if I'm alone, I'm not lonely. And if I'm alone, I'm still a full person. Someone called me even since day and said to me, how's your better half? And I said, I do not have half a person as my wife. Mm-hmm. I have a full individual. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a half person looks like, sounds like. Neither would I take on a half of an individual.
let me interject here, Pastor Marsh. And let me ask Miss Green. Now, in my lifetime, I've met quite a few females in the church, and I've heard this quite a few times, that, you know, they're single. They said they watch these movies, these love movies, you know. We're Gone with the Wind and, you know, and the Titanic, those kind of movies, you know, great love stories. And when they watch these movies, when it comes to the part, they cover their eyes when it gets seemingly juicy. What do you say to these young ladies?
I'm sorry, Keith, I didn't hear you. When it gets to what part?
The juicy parts, you know, when the loves, you know, the kissing and loving stars, they cover their eyes. What would you say to these young people who are lonely? They're not dating anyone. They want to serve God, but they watch, you know, these love movies, you know, that they feel maybe it's tamed enough, not too crazy. But you know, it's a way of saying one day I want to have that, or one day I may want to have this love or this experience, you know. How would you speak to these young ladies in the church who does that, or who do that?
I think it comes from, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burnt?
Talk to us now.
The truth is, having a desire to be in a relationship and having a desire to have a significant other is great and it's healthy and it's wholesome. But I believe if you're going through a season where you're alone and you're watching all these movies and it is kind of engendering that kind of feeling and that desire to have somebody with you, you really don't want to be watching a lot of that and feeding your mind with a lot of that stuff, because the more you feed your mind, the stronger the desire to have that relationship goes. And sometimes when that happens, people end up leaving the will of God to find relationships just to satisfy that desire.
Yeah.
Whilst I'm not saying we should not watch these movies, I don't think you want to watch a lot of those movies that are kind of putting you into that frame of mind of having that constant romantic inclination to want to have that somebody beside me. And if we're going to be really real and honest, that goes even beyond sometimes just having the desire to watch, but can lead into all kind of perversion and different things that can happen, mm-hmm. because there is a need to satisfy the flesh. Mm-hmm. So the reality is, there are some things that you don't want to do because it's going to feed that desire to have.
Mm.
And if I'm not ready to have a relationship, if I'm not in a significant relationship with somebody, I really don't want to awaken the desire in me until that person is in my purview. Because the truth be told, that desire, when awakened, is not so easy to quench.
It's
not just a prayer away. It's not like, Lord, help me, what did I get into? And just get out of it. All of these desires, when awakened, I mean, and there's a real devil out there, and he's going to send somebody who will say, hey,
trust me,
I am the answer to that problem you had last night.
Mm-hmm.
Take me.
Yeah.
I believe you, a lot of people get into trouble. A lot of mm-hmm. young people get into trouble because these are desires that are awakened prior to them being functional, having a healthy sense of self. I really don't think a companion comes into our lives to complete us. It really comes to... Oh dear,
compliment.
Compliment,
sorry,
yeah.
Back in? Yeah.
Yes, sure. Yes.
I don't think the relationship comes to complete us. It comes to complement us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It means that we really ought to be complete before. And we're supposed to be prepped to be whole by ourselves. An unhappy single will be an unhappy married person because they never adjusted to the weaknesses, the strengths that they have, the desires that are unmet, mm-hmm. the feelings that they have. They have not dealt with their weaknesses or their strengths. They don't know mm-hmm. who they are. They don't know even what they like. They don't even mm-hmm. know what the other person likes. And so in this, there's a time and season to get to know oneself first and to be comfortable in one's own skin with your strengths and your weaknesses
mm-hmm.
so that
mm-hmm.
in that sense of comfortableness with who you are, you are being prepared now to offer yourself to somebody else when the right person comes along. I think there's so much to the extent that we have these unrealistic expectations is a reason why we have such great disappointments.
Mm.
Because we watch all these movies and they tell us that there's this guy that's supposed to come and sweep us off our feet. He's never going to talk harshly to you.
Let's carry our boom. Carry our boom.
We are never going to be more real. We sail off into the sunset and it's forever mm-hmm. calm and cool. The nice coconut tree, the palm leaves, and the girl looking really hot, perfect mm-hmm. makeup when she wakes up. And the guy is all six packs and then a few other dozens on his arms.
Uh-oh.
And that's our dream relationship. And hey, wake up. It's a movie.
Miss Gloria, Miss Lawrence. A lot of people watching us right now, I'm sure. What would it tell these young girls or young boys, things they can do? Things they can do. You know, we talk about lonely by this, be single by design or desire. What could you say to them to help to navigate them their lives through times or seasons of being single or experience loneliness? What is something that they can do or challenge themselves so they can stay, you know, stay focused and not get sidetracked, so to speak?
The only thing really is to enjoy being single. As mm-hmm. Pastor Courtney and Heather had said, you have to enjoy being single.
And how is that? How do you do that?
Go out by yourself. I think people don't know how to do things by themselves. They're always mm-hmm. waiting to do things with someone. They want to share with someone. How about mm-hmm. doing something with yourself? Getting to know yourself. Because as Heather said, we enter into relationships and we don't even know ourselves. We don't know what we want. We don't know mm-hmm. our desires. We don't know what makes us happy. And we then depend on the person who we're with to do that for us. And it normally leads to an ending or something terrible happening. So go out with yourself. Take yourself out on dates. Nothing is wrong with going out with yourself, watching a movie. Take yourself to a restaurant and eat. Is it that you don't like spending time with yourself? That is a problem. That's what people need to ask. Because spending time with yourself is getting to know who you are as a person. Ensuring that when it is that you enter now a relationship and that time comes,
mm-hmm.
you are not going broken to somebody. You're not
that
going needy and needing something from someone. And it becomes a dependency then on the other person because you really don't know who mm-hmm. you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So before you, I mean, when I was single, I enjoyed it. I went home by myself. I got to walk up and down who I want. I don't have to get up and make breakfast for nobody. I got to lie down, wake up anytime I want to, do whatever I want to. And it was so good. It was so good. it was just so good. And I mean, at a point when I was supposed to get married, I was like, I'm gonna have to give this up. People don't understand because No, the truth is, I don't think people understand it because I have so many friends who want to get married. Mm-hmm. After they have gotten married, they're like, oh my God, I miss doing this by myself. I miss doing this. So you want to get married to be married and be single in your marriage. It makes no sense.
Mm.
Get me?
Yeah, I agree. Not only to go with yourself, but you also have to love yourself. Because if, for example, if you're not in love, or not in love with yourself, but if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love someone else?
Yes.
Right? Mm. You're out there and you have shared and have given so much already, but still there is always a lesson in the circumstances or meeting someone that God wants you to learn from, right? How you treat others. Do you treat others with charity? Do you treat the person that you were with charity? All right, but the fine line to loving someone, loving yourself before you can love someone else, is that you have to be careful not to create someone into a god, right? Mm. Because even if you give that person that authority, so you're in love with that person so much, you might forget where God is in the relationship. And if God is not able to enter into that relationship, then that relationship is literally on sand foundation. Right, and it would end up in a toxic as well. On Sister Green, what she was saying as well is that I was asking myself, like, can we be so much loving ourselves or doing what we love to the point that we might get sidetracked in consuming our time in finding love? Or is it that when we're designed, are we able to find love? It's like a question I was just asking. So I was wondering if anybody can help me. Like, or if we get so caught up in the design, purpose, fulfilling purpose, doing church and all these living single, or so, can it be can it blind us from seeing the person that we're supposed to be with?
You know, Sir Campbell, I want to also go back to something that was said. You know, marriage is a relationship that many desire. Awesome relationship it can be. There are two things I say about marriage. Marriage is supposed to be something of bliss, yet it can cause blisters. That's something we have to recognize. And two, if you are saved and you really want to know if you're saved, get married. It will be a good test of whether salvation is yours. You know, it is important for us to recognize again, even as Gloria said, do I have to give this up? I mean, I firstly have to learn how to cook breakfast for myself, that it is neither spouse's responsibility to prepare breakfast one for the other. It has to be an agreed position.
Mm-hmm.
I like also what was said by Sir Campbell about self-love. Yes, love your neighbor as yourself, and therefore you have to learn to love yourself. I'm not sure a lot of what I'm seeing put out on social media, I wouldn't even define as self-love. I consider it vain. But I'm hoping it will help persons to recognize that indeed they must value themselves as much as God has valued them. He bought them with a price. He has redeemed them. And as such, they are the most valuable thing that God has ever created. When he finished making man, he said, very good. Everything else he said, good. But man was very good. A relationship by design that we don't even have to question is Adam and Eve. That was completely designed, yet they were bereft with problems. The oldest brother killed the younger one. It was clear to me in some sense that Adam and Eve were having their own marital issues after everything, even in terms of decision making. Yet, you know, both were put out. I'm not sure what happened, why. I don't see any sense of forgiveness or asking for forgiveness, any of that being there. It is just not there. And so we have to ask ourselves some questions. In entering any form of a relationship that we hope to become permanent, or whether or not we are exploring for permanency, it has to be that we have come to a place where we're able to stand on our own, the standalone mode, so that even if you enter a relationship that ends terribly, you will still be able to stand. Lady Heather Green mentioned it as well. The issue of completing versus competing is something that we must consider once we're entering a relationship. Am I complementary? Are we working as a partnership, or are we competing to see if you do it, I can do it better? Or if you try to get it done, I want to look better, so I'll sabotage what you are doing. We have to be careful that our intentions in forming relationships is to elevate each other and elevate the other. So we have that position in our hearts. We always work for good. I'm saying all of this, and I'm saying it quite easily, but it is easier said than done. Because we can speak as brilliantly as we want to. The test is in the taste of the pudding.
Yes, yes.
You know, I saw Brownie.
Can you hear me? There you go.
Okay, I saw Brownie ask a question in terms of going out to seek. I don't know. For women, I don't know if going out there to look, seek someone is the best way, because but I think the men are the initiators where they go out and they pursue.
Yes.
I don't believe in the woman doing, and quite often I have never gone somewhere to say, okay, I'm going to go and dress up and go to the town so that a man can look me. I've never done that before. I think I have always been so busy, and then someone has come in the picture. And if a man wants to date you, he will show himself and he will do what he needs to do to get your attention.
And with the panel, I wanted to share a school of thought.
May you come a little closer to your mic? I'm not hearing you so clearly.
I tell you, I think I'm having mic issues. This thing is just acting up. But can you hear me any better?
A little better. Yes. A little better, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Stay right there.
I wondered, why is it that we never have church programs that I'm aware of that's similar to teaching the Word of God for your growth and development in spiritual issues? I would want to see the church take on the responsibility of training people to be husbands and wives. Mm-hmm. And I know they might have secular counseling sessions and so on, but I really don't see an agenda that says, you know, we're teaching men how to be husbands, or we're teaching ladies how to be wives, and that there is, similarly, if you go to Bible school and you learn the Word of God, we're not having effective programs in the church that is really mastering the different tenets that persons need to overcome the challenge that they have and to be prepared to be impactful in the relationship. So we're having this kind of conversation, and it's a great platform to have a discussion. And obviously in an hour and a half, we won't be able to touch everything that needs to be touched. But certainly we have life coaches for all kind of topics. But I really think that we really need life coaches to train young ladies how to be prospective wives, and to train young men how to be prospective husbands.
Yes.
And what are the do's and don'ts? While we don't have a mantra that says we're going to get it perfect once you get in the relationship, certainly I'm thinking that we ought to have some level of training that we're prepared. I mean, Pastor Morrison's had 39 years of experience. He would be a great person to say, hey, the older ought to teach the younger, the Bible says, how to be wives and how to treat their husbands and so on. So it would be nice to see that kind of life coach, that very significant strategic counseling session or preparation or training modules that would allow persons to train up how to be great wives and great husbands. What are wives looking for in husbands, and what are husbands looking for in wives, and what does dating look like when it is not overlaid by sexual temptation and so on? And what do I do with myself, and how can I date several persons to find the right person without compromising my integrity as a Christian or as a single person? I really think there's a whole avenue out there that gives us an opportunity to really train and coach and teach and share from the experiences and the failures that we have made as well in our relationships, the successes that we've had, put everything together and really sit down and just pass on these tenets to the other generation that is going to come. I think it's a great opportunity for us to be having this kind of conversation in a more structured approach, because it is necessary to avoid some of the heartaches and the conflicts that we're having in relationships.
Wow. Great point. And because, you know, let me just interject real quick here. I'm gonna come to you, Chase, in a minute. I know we have folks who are married and some are not married. But for those who are married, if you had to go back and relive that experience again before marriage, would you have waited a little longer? Or you felt the timing was just right based on what you've learned and gained over the years? Let's speak to that real quick, briefly.
All right,
and then I have you chase, can make your point here.
Okay. So I've been married twice. So I wouldn't have changed anything about it. My first marriage made me who I am today, and it made me better for my second marriage.
Okay.
I've learned, I've gained, I've grown. I have learned to love me and not depend on a man for that or to give me something, you know. I've learned to figure out who I am. I've learned to now know what I want, my dislikes. I've learned to know who Gloria is, and it has made me a better person today. So now I came into my second marriage as a whole person and not as a broken and a half person.
Okay.
So if I, there's nothing that would have changed.
Wow.
No.
For me, I wish I had started earlier. I'm not joking. I really.
Wow. Interesting. So
one of the things I love to tell young people is good to grow together. Mm-hmm. When persons are looking at myself and my wife and our children, everyone think we are probably just brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean that there were not rough times and that we still don't go through rough times. It's difficult to be vulnerable to a world that's so hypocritical. If you tend to share what is besetting you as a problem, there tends to be judgment, condemnation. There's no act of restoration. And some will take it and indeed use it against you, as opposed to say, hey, I want to learn from that.
Yes.
And so I also know that there are programs designed. I know Nadine Blair, Alison Dexter, Tanya Case does a whole series on teaching women what to expect, how to become wives. She has a book written on it. Mm-hmm. Nadine has a singles ministry. I'm not sure how well it is going now, that aids in the developing of individuals so that if they decide to be alone or if they decide to become married, that they are a whole complete individual with high self-esteem, that value themselves, that knows that their joy, their happiness is dependent on God and not necessarily on the other individual, therefore seeking happiness in that way, but that happiness is only complemented by what God gives to you.
Powerful. You were saying something, Chase. Powerful, Pastor.
Yeah, Pastor Morris literally said everything that I wanted to say, because one thing I loved about what he said is that he wished he started earlier. I wish that I could start earlier too.
Yeah.
You know, find a person and that having that partnership that we can grow together in, and not only just grow together, we have God as the foundation that is that guiding us towards the manifestation of purpose. And you guys have been hearing me speak on purpose. I really put that in high regard, because if you're in the will of God, or when you're in the will of God, purpose must manifest, right? And you're living for Him, it must manifest. And that is what I've been looking for, that partner that will help me manifest purpose. Because especially you have to look on the aspect of what's the purpose in your life, like what is the mantle that you're carrying. The purpose can be so heavy you can't have anybody to assist you in aiding in the battleground and ministering and so on. You have to have somebody who is aligned, who has, as Sister Green was saying, the connection. If you don't have the connection, and then as Gloria was saying, right, the love, loving yourself and then loving each other, then you're going to end up in a place where, you know, that purpose will not be manifested, it will be delayed, right? And then it will, a lot of obstacles will come in, not only in manifestation of purpose, but in the relationship as well. So I agree with Pastor Mercer saying.
You know,
I like what Pastor Morrison said, Keith, that purpose doesn't come without problems. Take a look at Joseph. He was in the center of God's will. And I think we need to get this sense of what marriage looks like when it's been lived, not when it's been dreamt about. Because purpose does not mean that there are no problems or conflicts. In fact, sometimes when you're dead in the purpose of God, there are more conflicts and problems than when you're outside.
Yeah.
And so we have got to be realistic with our expectations, realistic with our desires, realistic in knowing that, listen, guys, I don't know, but there are no perfect persons. And somehow, whether it's a social media platform, maybe it's the fake hips and lips and fingertips, whatever is happening out there, people are getting a sense that we are not in a real relationship with real human beings. And all of us have weaknesses and we have strengths. And we're going to be in a relationship with weaknesses, persons with weaknesses, and persons with strengths. And somehow, we're going to have to learn how to work together. I imagine married, having never been married myself, and Pastor Morris and Lady,
Gloria.
Can help me out here. I imagine that marriage is like being locked in a two-bedroom house and the door is closed. And listen, you have to live with that person. You really can't get out of it.
So I can't live without you. I can't live with you.
You can move to one room, but you're still in the house. You don't get to get out of it.
They're going to meet up with each other.
You're going to buck up with everybody. And I'm not me. I'm saying the Jamaican buck up with each other. And you can't get out of it. So I'm saying, but what the question I want to ask, Rev, do I have to be less of a woman for you to be more of a man? And do you have to be less of a man for me to be more of a woman?
Watch it now.
So we can strike the balance.
You know, when we continue to hear, and I said this in the last program, if male empowerment and female empowerment is not about being complementary and understanding who we are as individuals, we're ensuring that we're having combative sort of relationships as opposed to complementary relationships. If it is not for us to identify who we are and work again to see how we elevate each other, Philippians 2, esteem the other person higher than yourself. And I'm sure that works also for your marriages. You know, there is not a one sock that fits all. There are going to be times of goodness, times of fun, but there are going to be rough times. Be realistic, as person says. One of the things my wife is teaching me, because I have not fully yet learned, is how not to run away from problems. Yes? She says I'm a runner. I'm not sure if I'm faster than you, Sian. The fact of the matter is that, again, we talk about partnership. When God gave dominion over the earth, he never said to have dominion over each other. He told both Adam and Eve, have dominion over the earth. So when it comes to the question of, am I have to be more of a man or less of a man, or more of a woman or less than a woman to be husband and wife, we have to look on the tenets of what God has given us as a prescription and as a guideline as to how we should function and understand them. And it's not a matter of personal preference, but there are matters of principles that we should walk in. You know, as I said, there are those who continue to make scripture seem irrelevant in a time and age where we probably want to rewrite scripture. Headship doesn't mean dictatorship, and it's a delegated position by God. Neither does submission mean subjugation. We have to recognize what those are and also be able to apologize and admit where we are wrong, where we have erred. It is not one above the other in terms of how we function. It is about delegated responsibilities by God that we should look at. There is in scripture, again, I'm still not sure where many in the church taught about women being at home and men being necessarily the main breadwinner. I'm not seeing it in scripture. I know I see the courteous woman. The virtuous woman in scripture, it says she put her hands together, she becomes an entrepreneur, she goes out, she sells, she comes back, and her children rise and call her blessed. That sounds like a working woman to me. I didn't see where it spoke about her being in the kitchen. As a matter of fact, you see the scripture, it was the man who went out and hunted and cooked. You saw Esau and Jacob, one couldn't cook, but the other one could have cooked better than a certain chicken that the father only wanted from him, and the other brother had to go to the mother to try to do a little trick thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Man, could I make some? I think it's 2 peas that make, you know, that piece.
I tell. There's maybe some goated soup. I don't know, but you know. Professor Morrison, we're gonna have to have a conversation about that old man woman thing, because I got some ideas about that too. But you know, I was a late bloomer, and I would say this to especially parents who are having kids coming up into this crazy world, and you want to have your child be involved in something that's meaningful. What is it? To instrument or some kind of sport, something that the child can really, really get into and really see themselves being great at. And I remember being up to 25, 26, I was so involved in music that I was not thinking about women. I was crazy. I wasn't even thinking about girls. But I was thinking about the music and the instrumentation and traveling and, you know, and also involved in music, music and sports. And I think that those are good distractions. Mm-hmm. Put that energy somewhere where not only will it be a good replacement, but also a development of character and discipline. So I see where that helped me in my life as a young person. But as I hear you ladies and gentlemen speak tonight, I'm hearing some are married and some are single, but I'm hearing a sense of joy and wholeness, a sense of I'm happy where I'm at. You know, it's not all been great and being hunky-dory, but I can appreciate where I am, I can appreciate my singleness. I want to, but I'm happy where I'm at now. And you want to go about it the right way. I mean, the wisdom here tonight is phenomenal. And to hear your perspective on different things. We are here on Let's Talk Relationships. And I'm telling you, I'm just loving this ideas here and ideals that's coming forth. And we're about to wrap up in about a few minutes. But you guys were absolutely phenomenal. The wisdom and the ideas and the words that you guys shared tonight. I'm pretty sure that it'll leave a mark for many who are going to listen and watch this program across our globe. But lastly, I will ask this question and be as brief as possible because we're just about winding down. Lady Misty, you there? Lady Misty, I haven't seen you for a while. Lady Misty, are you there? I think she's having some technical issues there. But my co-host, who means so much to me in this whole program here, when I don't see her, I feel lost. Like, where's my
where is my
co-host here? Tonight, yes, you know, I'm single, I'm riding the storm.
I'm not by desire.
You know, but I'm telling you.
Not by desire at all.
I miss my co-host here. But what I want to share with the audience, just briefly, in a few words, what do you feel young people need mostly now? As they look forward to becoming adults, some have been through brokenhearted, some have been through, you know, even abuse, trauma, and some may not even want to get married because of trauma, not because they feel that it's cued wrongly, or maybe it's not the way to go. Some want to stay single for the wrong reasons, and some want to get married for the wrong reasons. Just quickly address that, each of you in your own way, real short, before we wrap it up.
All right, I will go first then.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
What I would say to them is that it's not by might, but I think it's by faith. If you operate by faith, then healing will come, then the right person will come. Mm-hmm. And also, by the time that right person comes, the baggages, the trauma, the forgiveness, the seed that enemy literally wanted to use to destroy your life, all of that will definitely not take effect, but also be used to exemplify God and give God glory. Mm. So,
okay. That is Shivana.
All right. I think that young people need to be honest with themselves, or persons in general need to be honest with themselves, where they are, what they do desire, the things that they are struggling with. Mm-hmm. If they can afford it or can speak to someone who is knowledgeable, like our coach, who could help them backtrack where some of these issues are coming from. So, okay, mm-hmm. So for coaching, we know that the client would be the expert of in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. The coach will really help them to kind of backtrack and reflect to find the source of, okay, why do I want to get married? To see if their desire is healthy or not, or why I don't want to get married.
Wow.
And it kind of gives them a little clarity, and mm-hmm. from there they're able to, you know, because the coach would help them to, okay, since you have this, or you've been molested, you need to seek counseling to get some healing.
Mm-hmm.
Alignment, I want to encourage young people to stay in God no matter what position or what where they are at in their lives now.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in God. God has a way to shift you and move you according to His will, and you'll be in the right place as long as you trust God. So it will always work out because He never leaves nor forsakes you.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Gloria?
Okay, I'm just going to echo what Chase and Shivani has said before in terms of just seek help for issues that you have, seek counseling, and also know for yourself what is it that you bring to the table. You don't want to be in a place where you're going in a relationship and you don't even have an idea what exactly you're going to bring to the table to either enhance
mm-hmm.
or you know, enhance and bring up the relationship, support the person who you're with. So if it is that you don't know that, I don't think you should find yourself or put yourself in a relationship as yet. So just get to know yourself, be happy being single, so that when the right person comes, you can be happy being in that relationship.
Nice. Miss Heather?
Ditto to what everybody has said before,
mm-hmm.
but God is a God of balance. And I think the ability to be vulnerable and be open and honest is such a critical yet missing component in our walk with God and our relationship with each other. I think we need to be persons of honesty and integrity, where if we're struggling with something, we are able to say to somebody, hey, this is where I'm at,
mm-hmm.
this is what I'm going through, and this is the
yes.
help that I need. And there's not a lot of people that you're going to be able to find to pour out to, or
that is it.
When I know that there is at least one person there in your circumference, in your circle of persons, that you
mm-hmm.
can find to pour into you, and that you
yes.
can pour out to, and get that balanced perspective that can take you through the current season into the next one.
Awesome. Last but not least, the doctor himself, Mr. Morrison.
You know, Heather, I just want to respond to what you said as well. That is so difficult to find. Persons who offer good mentorship, sincere, that you can be open and vulnerable to. I'm praying that we find more. In addition to that, God has given us all a gift that Adam and Eve never had. We were born as big children and grew up into adults. Adam was created as an adult. So we know what it means to go through the stage of being young, having youthful experience to where we are at today.
Mm.
And so with that, we are able to ensure that we don't have adult amnesia of what happened to us as children.
Mm.
And so we are able to give our own ideas, perspective on issues. But for me, for the youngsters, apart from good mentorship, accountability, you know, being able to know how to fulfill happiness without experiencing others intimately in terms of intimacy, as intimate as sexual, is this. Ephesians 5:10 says this quite well. It says one simple thing: find out what pleases God.
Mm.
Far too often what we try to do is find out what pleases us.
Others.
Yeah.
This God most often is not what pleases us. Sometimes it's not us being comfortable, but mm-hmm. it's a matter of what God wants for our character.
Mm-hmm.
And the word character in literal English means a burning into our actions, a charring of our actions, and an indelible mark upon whom we are.
Mm.
And no fire feels good. No fire feels good.
But it purifies.
To my youngsters, I say, we're in a day and age where everybody say, only if you have positive vibes, come on my page. No. Learn that there are tough issues in life. They are there to build you as well. Jeremiah says, come down to the potter's house. All you see are broken pots, but watch as the potter put it back together.
Again.
And those experiences are real. And so we need, I love what Gloria said. She's been through one marriage. She learned from it. So we have these experiences that are rough and tough, and she wouldn't change anything. We learn from them. My wife says, you know, you never lose. You only learn. And so as life lessons happen, let us ensure that we go through them. It's not easy. Let us make that clear. It's not easy to be vulnerable. It's not easy to submit to an accountability partner, not a mentor. But so often we want to do what we desire. And so find out what pleases God. Ephesians 5 verse 10 and Jeremiah 29, 11. I know the plan I have for you, says God. So whatever it is, whether by design or desire,
there's an expected end.
What the plan is, because he has an expected end for you to give you a bright hope and a bright future.
This is classic indeed. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you guys were absolutely phenomenal. I enjoy all of you. I love the spectrum. I love the youth. I love the wisdom. I loved it all. And thank you so much for being here. I'm seeing a part two for the same crew tonight. I'm seeing a part two. I really am, because this is well needed. You guys were phenomenal. Thank you for coming on here, being a guest. Some of you are return guests. You're like family now. So what can I say? Lady Mister, we miss you, and hopefully we can get you back back in track soon. So again, God, have a great night, and stay blessed, and see you on the next Let's Talk Relationships. God bless.
Bless you. Good night.